Broadcasting from atop the Hensler Financial Building in the heart of Georgia's financial district, Kennesaw, Georgia, this is Money Talks.
We're back. It's Money Talks. I'm Bill Lako with Troy Harmon, Dr. Gene, and Matt Haynes.
All right, we have another case
Plant
study.
Plant the flag. Let's go.
Matt, we got a case study, and you want to...
Yeah, we do. You know, last week, Gene, we started off the year talking about a case study, and the main situation last year was you had a couple who had the wife had been diagnosed with cancer last year, got through it, it's in remission, and we talked about all the issues that come out of that. This week, we've got a situation that we want to share, and again, these are coming out of real situations we see day in, day out, year in, year out here at the firm, and obviously we changed the name and the circumstances a bit, but today I wanted to talk a little bit about, we're going to call this guy Brian. He's 48 years old, and it's something that, we see a fair amount of, especially in the metro Atlanta area. He's got straight out of high school, went to work for an employer, and actually worked his whole career there. So your larger companies, that someone builds a career doing a job straight out of high school, and then they get to, in his case, he's 48 years old, and he's been offered an incentive package to retire early. It's basically an early exit. And hadn't planned on retiring, but he's been saving, but everything he's got is in that company's stock. Not real sophisticated, but he finds himself in a situation. He's divorced, got a ton of company stock, $1.6 million in his 401k.
And by the way, he makes $85,000 a year,
yeah,
$60,000 after tax. One of the things I would like to point out that mm-hmm. it is not uncommon with companies like Home Depot and UPS, and there's two or three others,
Coca-Cola,
where people without a college degree have gone to work and invested their money. So similar to this. He's got $1.6 million, but here's the thing to remember. He puts 12% of his pay, and always has, into that 401k, and he does what we say you shouldn't do, and that is to put it all into your company stock.
Yes. That's right.
But in spite of that, he's fortunate because the market price is up. So
So he works for a big company. And, I mean, Bill, you've seen this before, too. I mean, the interesting part of this conversation, because as you and I were talking about before the show, there's some practical things that we need to talk about, and there's some technical things that come up. I mean, he's 48 years old. Thinking about retirement.
Well, that's
here
a long time.
It's a long time. Now he's got to go
work somewhere else.
Yeah, most likely he's going to need to go work somewhere else if he just from a sheer
got to do something
perspective. Right. But there's some psychology that goes along with this too, right? We've had these conversations because way too much concentrated in one stock, but. Yeah. That one stock, that one company, is really taking care of him for a long time. He's sitting here. He's a millionaire. Feels like the company's diversified because in this case, it's a big company, right? And how do you have that dialogue? Why does he need to, you know, if it's a big, you know, Gene, you just named some, right? I mean, we know the big ones.
Bill,
they're diversified.
Bill would sit down with them. I would sit down with them. And we would say, we've had clients in here who had Procter & Gamble stock. It was selling for $105 a share, and that stock fell to $40.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, right.
Solid company, couldn't be better. We have Home Depot.
I got
one
for
you. Went from X to X, Walmart X to X.
Lucent Technologies.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Lucent. Everything in Lucent. Where's Lucent now?
Huh? This
is Hasta Luego.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can go back to Studebaker and Packard. And
that wasn't a big company, though.
Well,
we were big companies.
Even back in the day, I mean, if you think about what Southern Company went through when who was the big the one that got caught with fraud? I forget the name of the
world.
Big energy company.
Oh,
the guy who was out of Oklahoma was trading.
Right. Yeah.
Enron.
So
Enron.
When Enron went down, you could even saw Southern Company fall significantly. I mean, it's not something that you expect. But I mean, even if you think about, you know, this guy's, we don't know where he is, but just say that it was UPS. Mm-hmm. UPS came out IPO in 1999. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I think the individual employees could buy into the company stock.
Yes, it was fandom stock.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first few years that stock was public, it outperformed the market, but only for a few years. You know, over the last 10 years, it has not outperformed the market. In fact, it's up 5.3%. Annually, while the stock market was up 7.6%.
Right.
good company. I mean, I'm not throwing rocks at them specifically, but, you know, you've got a company with long-term growth expectations about in line with what the market should be, 10.7%.
Mm-hmm. And in addition, what I would take into account here is since the company is offering him early retirement, that's an indication that the structure of the company is going to change.
Right. And speaking of that change, you know, at one point, even UPS, you know, they were a AA security, a bond that we would have bought. But they decided that they would lever up. And what levering the company does is allows you to have more return on your equity. But at the same time, it increases the risk within
and the volatility
company.
Of the income.
Yep. Exactly. Would you believe that the debt to equity ratio for UPS is 168.5%?
You're kidding me.
No, and it's all been because of management. They wanted to do that. Their operations are stable enough in their mind to run with significant leverage. So, you know, I'm not saying that you would get rid of all of it, but you would be better off to own some consumer staples.
Sure.
You know,
So number one, we'd say we want to diversify that.
Absolutely.
Also, what about life insurance, health insurance?
Yeah, well, life insurance and health insurance, you know, he's got health insurance he's going to be provided as part of this offer that's going to take him through
Medicare.
What about
his kid?
He's going to lose coverage on the child. So now in this case, what we know about the situation is that he's divorced.
Right.
So, you know, there's some circumstances he's going to have to, Bill, you and I were talking about this, yeah, he may be able to get COBRA for a period of time on the child.
It's only 18 right. months, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Yeah. But
and the daughter's 14, so there's
yeah, that's right. I mean, you know what we've been talking about is a situation where we've had, Brian here. He's 48 years old. He's been offered an early retirement package from a large employer that he's worked with since he's been got out of high school. He's got $1.6 million in his 401k. It's all in company stock, and now he's trying to make a decision as to whether or not he should take the offer. It gives him 1 year's salary. But, you know, and he doesn't spend a ton. He spends about $55,000 a year, doesn't owe anything on his house.
Gets health care
coverage till he's 65. But there's a lot of considerations that go into this. We talked a little bit about the risks associated with being overly concentrated in one security. Need to think about that. He needs to consider how to deal with that. He is 48. He's not 59 and a half. So taking distributions out of his 401k are problematic at this point. He can, but he'll be penalized. So we touched on things like net unrealized appreciation. We talked about NUA and how there are provisions to take a single highly concentrated position in a qualified plan like a 401k and moving it to a brokerage account. And the taxation being a little bit more favorable than trying to keep it there.
A lot more favorable.
It's a lot more favorable. You basically pay ordinary income tax on the cost basis, and then as you liquidate the stock and diversify in the brokerage account, you pay long-term capital gains tax if you've held it for longer than a year on the gain that he has.
A huge
deal. Which is much, much better tax.
Got a little health care problem for the daughter. I don't know whether she can be covered under the ex-wife's.
Right, so we talked
about
the fact
that
he's divorced, so there's a divorce decree in place, so he's going to need to look back to that retirement agreement, how it reads and what he does or doesn't need to do regarding health insurance for her.
We always talk about life-changing events.
Yeah.
When people come to us or come to other financial planners, this obviously is a life-changing event and shouldn't be make a decision and then go see somebody.
That's right.
go see somebody.
That is generally how they come to us.
I know. Go see somebody. Last time we had somebody who got sick. This time we have somebody who has a life-changing event with early retirement.
That's right.
And that's the kind of thing. And that's the time to go see a professional.
Yeah,
before you make the decision.
It's going to touch all areas of the financial life, right? I mean, it's their investments, their insurance, their taxes, estate planning. We didn't even get to that.
Right.
There's a lot of things that he needs to consider.
All right, because please understand here, we're trying to give you real-life situations and give you quick answers, which there are no quick answers to.
That's right.
We're just trying to give you some things to think about.
Mm-hmm. All right, Matt.
So we were just talking about this situation before the break. You've got this case study that we're doing with Brian. He's 48. He's been offered an early retirement package. And one of the just practical things I think we ought to toss out there is that, you know, here's somebody who's worked for the same company for many, many years. He's got his lifestyle built a certain way. We know he doesn't have any debt on his home. He's got a nice vehicle and debt on that. But by and large, he's got a pretty straightforward, simple lifestyle. But he's used to getting most likely paychecks every couple of weeks. So one of the things that
at 85
he needs
grand,
to think about.
At 85 grand, every 2 weeks he's going to end up with what?
Probably 55.
Yeah.
$5,500.
No, $55,000
55.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. After tax. So,
Okay. Yeah, all right. Never
45
mind.
Okay. A month or something.
Yeah. But there's going to be a transition because there's some emotional, psychological. It's a change to working versus not working.
Right.
And smoothing out the income for him is going to be worth doing.
Well, you got to go ahead.
No. Well, his problem is he doesn't have any outside savings.
Right.
So the only way he can get money to live on is by taking money out of that 401k or getting another job.
Correct.
And what's his problem, Bill? He's 48 years old.
Right. So you can't take any money out of your retirement account until you're 59 and a half. There is some rules that allow it.
You can, but you pay.
Well, you paid
penalty.
Penalty, 10%.
Yes.
So I wouldn't do that.
What would you do?
Well, so to your point, if he's going to work, you could roll this into your IRA and then do what you want with it. But there is a little known IRS rule.
Yeah, and it revolves around something referred to as NUA, net unrealized appreciation. And it exists in four situations where you've got a single position inside a qualified plan in the company you work for. So like in this case, if he's got, and again, we don't know what company this is here. We haven't assigned a name to it. But if he's got, let's say it is, Troy, you were talking about UPS earlier, right, a large position in a UPS, there's a provision in the tax code that says you can take the position that's in your 401k and take it out and put it into a brokerage account. Now, it's not a rollover. What you actually do is you take the cost basis in the stock that's inside the plan and you pay ordinary income tax on the cost basis.
Okay.
And move the whole thing out so that then as you liquidate the position, you're only paying capital gains tax on the gain, on the difference between your cost basis and your gain.
That seems strange to me. I've never heard of that.
Oh, sure.
So now what happens is, okay,
quite
so for
a few times.
So for,
mm-hmm.
for
see, again, it goes back to you doing that professor work.
Yeah, that's right. Stone Age. So all right, let's just talk about this.
Because otherwise, it's all ordinary income, right?
Otherwise, it's all ordinary income.
Right.
And if, but there is another way too. Can he just start taking regular withdrawals and say he'll continue to do that, and he avoids any penalties? Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So
I wouldn't recommend that.
I'm not totally in the dark.
No. Well, look, so I think we calculated actually what his cost basis was. So he had about $250,000 to $260,000 in cost basis. So if he rolls that into the brokerage account, let's call it $80,000 to $90,000 in taxes, he'll have $1.5 million sitting in his brokerage account. Let's just pretend the stock's paying 3% dividend. He's making $45,000 a year right there. Now, mind you, have 100% of your stock in one company, which is
he can't change that
problem.
Not for a year.
1 year.
If you want long-term capital gains, not for a year.
Right.
But after that, you could sell it and you pay capital gains, which is not a bad thing. But again, you're banking on GE not falling from 70 to 7.
Yep.
So.
For a year, maybe that's not too much of a risk.
Maybe. But so if you diversify the portfolio and you're generating about 3%. All of a sudden, you're generating $45,000 a year.
Well, given I have a PhD and know everything about everything.
I got a problem with my love life.
We can talk about that. That's not a problem whatsoever.
Well, what do you know about modern France? That's all I want to know.
History of modern France.
History of.
Well, I can tell you about it since we were there in September.
That was modern.
That was modern. So anyhow, you would suggest, I would think, that he should see a financial planner.
Yeah.
Anyhow, just to go over this idea, because he sure as heck doesn't know about that.
Yeah, no, and that's...
He doesn't have a PhD.
Exactly. He's not near as sophisticated as you. And things like NUA are relatively complex. I mean, you don't want to get sideways on moving money from a qualified plan out.
You make one mistake, and all of a sudden you're hit for 100% ordinary income.
Plus penalty. Especially at his age. Yeah.
And this would kill you.
That would hurt.
But this is an example of a strategy that could be used to begin to diversify his concentration.
Absolutely.
And there's other options too. He could borrow.
He could.
Against his house.
Yes, he could.
To live 4 or 5 or 6 years.
That's right.
All right? So these are all sorts of different possibilities. Mm-hmm. And he could then make the move with the 1.6. 2 years down the road or 3 years down the road, or he could diversify within his 401k into different kind of, well, mutual funds, et cetera, and all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
Wait a year, and then he can still do the same thing by bringing it out to a broker. Am I correct? like you were talking about. He's bringing all the stock out.
Right.
And he's waiting. But if he changes them all around and diversifies, and a year later he
pulls. No, you got it. It's only the company stock.
It's only the company stock. This is for a concentration. This is for a concentration.
Well,
in one position.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing I asked that question.
We don't try this at home, ladies and gentlemen.
This is not do it yourself.
No. Yeah.
All right.
No doubt. But if he did have a job, I mean, he could still diversify within the 401k if he didn't need to take the money out.
Sure.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. All right.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.